received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there was an evidence of that experience, that initial experience of speaking with other tongues, speaking in another tongue. I remember praying near a brother one time that it seemed like he'd go from one tongue to another tongue to another tongue to another tongue. It seemed like that would go on for 30 minutes. And I thought, wow. It seemed like when I would pray in the Spirit and speak in tongues, it seemed to be at times, it would seem like there was just a certain utterance that would continue to come, and it becomes familiar. I remember having this thought just last week. That seems awful familiar and repetitious to me. I'm talking about my own prayer. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm feeling after God. I'm building up my most holy faith. I'm communing with the Spirit of God, but there seems to be a so familiar and repetition. I begin to question myself and wonder, have I hit a plateau here? Is there something that I got up early this morning and I went down to the living room, and when my knees hit the floor, no pain, I immediately begin to pray in the Spirit in a language I never heard before. And I thought to myself, okay, you are obviously dealing with something that is different, because I can feel that. And the familiarity all went away. And it was interesting how easy it was to flow in that utterance that I don't think I'd ever spoken. And it had twists and turns, and there was directives in it, and I could feel those things. And then I just kind of thank God. Oh, okay. I guess I'm okay. You know, we don't realize sometimes the impact of our yielding to the Holy Ghost. And the things that will be touched or ministered to near to us or so far distant from us, we don't even know where it's gone to. But we can have surety that we know. I need water. We can have surety that we know it is a spiritual utterance from God. And He is ministering. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Those things that are of the flesh are temporal, temporary. They will have an end. Those things that are of the Spirit are eternal. There may be things that you engaged in a long time ago that were of the Spirit, that many years later you begin to see and watch with your own eyes as God allows you to have the witness that this is fruition, or this is something that was set in motion a long time ago and now it's becoming fulfilled. Something birthed, something born, something quickened by the presence and power of God, primarily through spiritual utterance. We know that the pattern from the very beginning, God said, it happened. God said, it happened. Whatever utterance came forth from God, however it was manifested, it created something, it produced something, it set something in motion. Let the earth bring forth seed after its kind. And that's never stopped. Spoken once, uttered once in the dimension of spirit, And it continues to produce over and over and over and over and will not stop until he says so. Is it possible that when you and I engage in the things, the deep things of the Holy Ghost, the deep things of the Spirit of God, as we yield to him, that it sets things in motion, that it brings things to naught, that it opens doors and closes them, that it speaks of things that are not as though they were? Last week I asked several of you, how many were not born in this country? And then we begin to talk and make comparative that you are now in his will where you are for this moment. And there are things that God would desire to accomplish in you, possibly through you, as he brings you into the audience and the company of other men and women. Was it inevitable that you would land here? Did you know when you were 6, 7, 8 years old that you would be here? Well, of course not. But you can have a resolve in your spirit. You can have the witness of the Holy Ghost. You can have a surety down in your soul that it was the arrangement of God who has ordered the steps of your living that has brought you to this place. Unless you've slipped off the path somewhere and just not sure how to get back on, you're here by his design. I was preaching in a mission one time down on 6th Street in Yakima years ago. I remember there were a large population of Latinos in the valley because it was probably during harvest. But there were some men, maybe some women, but there were some men in that meeting on that particular night that I could tell, these aren't Mexicans. They were Spanish speaking. The, you know, society would call them Hispanic. That's kind of like lumping everybody from South America and Mexico into the same pot. They weren't Mexican. They were Latino. But there was something very distinct about them. And as I talked to them, I remember at the door before they left that night, I found out they were from Guatemala. They had migrated up through Central America and made their way into Yakima. They were not fruit pickers, but here they were in the mission that night. And there was something after our conversation and dialoguing, it just marked me. Just marked me. I don't know what the time frame was, but I was on a trip to Phoenix on business. I worked for a company. And when I was to leave Phoenix, the flight was delayed. They'd already dropped me off at the airport. I got no car. Flight is delayed 15 minutes. And every 15 minutes, they'd push that ahead 15 more minutes. They did that for 4 hours. So now it's midnight. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm supposed to be flying to Seattle. And they say, folks, we're going to make a change. We're going to put you on a different plane and we're going to send you to LA. And when you get to LA, they will make a connection for you to get you to Seattle. Okay, so number one, my schedule's been interrupted. I'm supposed to have left at 8. It's now midnight. We're getting on the plane. I'm not going to Seattle. I'm going to L.A. on a different plane. I sat down in my seat. I just happened to have my Bible outside of my case. And I stuffed it in the seat in front of me. Plane takes off. Lady sitting to my left says, I'm taking a religion class. Oh, okay. Interesting. You know, a Bible study ensues. This has never happened before. This has never happened since. From the time we took off from the ground to the time we were going down the runway, having landed, and she was trying to get up out of her seat, I couldn't help it. There was so much flow, I couldn't shut it off. I walked her through the Old Testament, types and shadows. I took her to the New Testament, new birth message. I relayed everything that I ever heard. She said she was out shopping. Her husband owned a shipping company in Guatemala City. She was out shopping. I wrote, her name was Barbara DeWitt. How do I remember that? I wrote it down in my Bible. I prayed for her for years. I knew this was an appointment from God. I don't know who that lady is, and I don't know what her future holds in God's kingdom. All I knew was I had never experienced it like that, and I've never experienced it since. I'd call out her name in prayer again and again before the Lord. Guatemala City. There were a couple of other occasions. I don't remember all the details, but I'm being invaded by Guatemalans. They're all over in my life. Everywhere I go, they're from Guatemala, Guatemala. Finally, one night in the back of the room, my wife and I had discussed this and talked. We started looking up and studying, you know, in the, I had an old set of encyclopedias. Remember, it was paper. Remember the old kind, paper kind, that thick? We had a set all of our lives, did all my book reports out of them, Compton. Anyhow, we looked up, we studied, we looked about it. It was a mountainous region and all this stuff. Anyway, all these details. In the back of the church one night, I said to my pastor, I work up the courage and the nerve. Brother Leslie, I'm not sure, but I think God may be calling us to Guatemala. He says, really? Do you speak Spanish? Well, no. I'd start there. You wonder, what in the world is going on? You know that you were engaged spiritually, and there were things sown in the spirit toward a specific direction. And you wonder, what in the world is all this about? Surely he must be calling us to Guatemala. The next thing we see is a flyer for the general conference. I think it was Wisconsin or Salt Lake City. Brother Windrost is the speaker. Brother Windrost is the missionary to Guatemala. Honey, we've got to save some money and go to the general conference. This is God. I can feel it. We did. We went. And I made, he was the speaker on the last night. The crowd that amassed in the altars, I thought I was at an Amway convention. I didn't think I'd ever get to him. But I had to. I knew I just had to get to him. I had wrote him a letter. Never got a response. So I walked, I'm pressing my way through the crowd. I don't know, it must have took me 30 minutes to get down there and get in the line, and they're all shaking his hand, and you know. Finally, I get up, and I'm face to face with T. Windrost. Hi, I'm Larry Schoonover from Washington. I wrote you a letter. He said, I got that letter. He said, I had been in a terrible auto accident that almost took my life. Me and another missionary. And I never got to respond back to you. And said a couple things and went on my way. And I thought, I was expecting a lot more than that. I mean, this thing's been leading up for a year or two now. Well, that was it. So here's what I deducted in my own mind. That burden that I had, it must have been so that I would be praying for Windross, who I had been. Looked up who was the missionary there. I deducted that God was probably using me to pray for him during that time that he was in that accident. Okay, that I'm concluding in my own thoughts. That's it. And I just let it go. Eventually. Let it go. It was a season in time. It was something. I thought it was leading to something more. I don't know. Well, Brother Hart is up in Ferndale today. Ferndale's a town up near Bellingham. Little stop in the road. He's meeting with about 30 Guatemalans. See, there was a minister that left the church in Missouri where he was associated with. His family's related. And they went down to, they were from, and they went back to Guatemala. It was there that they raised up this group of people, and they had been to travel. A bunch of them left, returning to areas of where their families were. Well, anyway, some family came up to Ferndale that was related to that work down there in Guatemala. And so Brother Hart has made his second trip up there now. And there's about 30 Guatemalans that are wanting to congregate and meet concerning the doctrine that we teach. And it was the contact down there, a guy by the name of Pedro, imagine that, who arranged for them to meet. And they have called and said, we want somebody to lead us. Now, listen, he went up and connected with a nearby pastor an hour away. And that pastor said, look, I'll help you in any way that I can. But it's obvious to me that you're the appointed. And at first I'm thinking, well, this is interesting. This borders on weird. Unless you believe. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit and eternal. And the seeds that you have sown in whatever form, sowing of the word, teaching of the word, teaching of Bibles, witnessing. One witness. Where's it all going? It's going to heaven. That's where it's going. That's our goal. Reaching people at any cost, but following as God would lead. Some of you have never heard, most of you have. I just want to give you a couple elements of the other Pedro. One night when I was sitting here with Brother Arendine, he told me he was driving a limousine. I said, what? He said, you know, airport transfer. Just take people to the airport. Something marked me when he said that. Before he left that night, I thought to myself, I'm going to do that. Now, I'm a pastor here. Full time. What a lot of people don't realize is that full time means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's who you are. It's not what you do. So I go over here and buy a car right over here right over here. There's a car lot right over here, Prestige something or other. And I said, I'm going to buy that car. I bought a car, went through the hoops, got a license, made a couple runs with Brother Arendine. And it came to me that when I looked on the web, there was a limos.com website. And so I thought, you know, I could build websites. I'm going to build a directory. And I put this little directory together. And I get an email from a guy in Arizona, Phoenix, by the name of Bob Frost. Bob Frost says, I'm trying to, he's a limousine operator, and he wants help with his website. Oh, no problem. Let me help you. I fixed him, got him going. Great. Now he feels indebted to me. He's actually sent several checks for several hundred dollars to me. I said, Bob, it's okay. It was really easy to do. But he feels this connection. Okay. Bob calls me one day and he says, there's a guy in Miami that I think you two should meet. This is not a Christian. This guy's a limousine driver. We actually met him when we went to the conference in Phoenix because we had him pick us up at the airport. We thought maybe we can extend this connection. The connection was no longer than him calling me and saying, there's a guy you should meet in Miami by the name of Pedro. Two years, once a month, flying to Fort Lauderdale and meeting with Pedro and people in their home. We baptized some 30 people there in the neighborhoods. And I remember my wife and I went before the Florida District Board to get permission to do what we'd already been doing for a year. They gave us permission to operate a home missions work while we were pastoring here. As soon as we walked out of that meeting, the burden left.
You talk about strange.
I had made one last trip down to Fort Lauderdale telling my wife, I'm going to go make a trip down there. I'm not telling Pedro I'm coming. I just want to drive into Miami, and I want to know for certain, is this about South Florida? Or is this about one family? I knew in 30 minutes, this is not about South Florida. We were prepared to move down there. I knew in 30 minutes, this was not about South Florida. This was about one family. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe that you would go to the trouble and the expense and the effort for my family and I to make these trips and to do all this for one family when there was three churches within a stone's throw. But the Lord showed me, it's not about getting them into a church. This is about a connection between two individuals that he had chosen to be connected. He and I. Long story short, he and his wife now live in Turin, Italy, pastoring a work there. They reach out to all over the countryside. He has spoke in several countries now, in Spain and throughout Italy, and God gives them amazing contacts, and they just reach people. Limousine driver. Now, this is why I'm bringing this up. I want to go to the book of Acts at chapter 18. I'm going to read from chapter 17, just two verses, 32, 33, 34. When they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, something, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, what was he in? Athens. What was he in Athens? He was an evangelist. He was ministering. He was reaching. Okay. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. That's in Greece, right? Athens is in Greece. Two different cities. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. For whatever purpose, Paul is feeling it's time to leave Athens.
But he's just not leaving or looking to go somewhere. He's waiting on God, and God
directs him. He feels, I need to go to Corinth. You from Corinth? You got cousins in Corinth? Do you know anybody in Corinth? None of that matters. The Holy Ghost is leading him to a place called Corinth. So he arrives on the scene. He puts in an application to pastor the first church of Corinth. Oh, no, no, no. That kind of stuff doesn't exist at this time. Oh, no. What's he going to do? Somewhere along the line in his life, he must have felt, you know what I'm going to do? He probably run into Brother Arendine. I'm going to make tents. That would be a popular profession, would it? I'm going to make a tent. Maybe it started as a hobby. I don't know. See if I can build a tent. He started working on tents. He started mending tents. It was the fact that he had made tents that brought him to a man who was another tent maker. But that man would have never been there had Claudius not decided, I want all the Jews out of Rome. Aquila lived in Rome. Paul had been in Athens. In order for him to get these together, he had to get Paul to Corinth and Aquila out of Rome and in Corinth. It was the fact that somewhere along the line, they began working on tents that was a factor that brought them together. So do you have a vocation life and then a church life? Is your vocation separate? You know, you go to do church on Sunday at the church, and then at work, you're this other guy, gal. Well, I know you invite people to come to where you go do the church thing. Or are you the church in your vocation on the job? Here we have the evidence of God coordinating the works of men to bring individuals together for appointments. You read the history of what Aquila and Priscilla become and pastoring their church in their home and the ministry that they participate in that had come through the life and ministry of Paul, not because they were attending his church, but because they were making tents. I've gave more Bible studies at the iPhone repair shop than I've given at the church building. Somewhere, you know, I dropped my phone one day and the crazy thing broke. And in a process of time, I don't know where the idea come from. I think I can fix that. Fixed it. It started to connect me with so many individuals that I realized, you know what? I can open my mouth and begin to talk to these people freely because they just see me as the iPhone repair guy. And their questions was always the first thing. Is this all you do? You are where you are at God's leading. We have to find that reason. We have to find in God what is His purpose for me now. Who are the individuals in my community? Who are the individuals in my work community, my hobby community, my shopping community? Who are the individuals? If I am a light unto this world, if I am a beacon set upon a hill, then who are those in my community that there ought to be a dialogue, a communication, a place of influencing towards the gospel? And the Lord Jesus Christ. I know sometimes our work, it keeps us extremely focused on our work. God help us to become so comfortable with work that we can be conscious of the souls that we're working with. And give us a Holy Ghost boldness and a willingness to open our mouths and begin to talk and communicate. A few weeks ago, I made a comment to a brother. I had this thought. I shared with him, I think I want to teach question evangelism. You know, because that's the, you know, where do you start? What do you say to open the dialogue? What do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you obeyed Acts 2:38? What do we say? What do we do? Yeah, we can go to Acts 19 and we see that Paul came upon some folks and said, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Question. We haven't even heard whether it be a Holy Ghost. So how does he respond with that? Another question. Unto what were you baptized? And it was through the process of the dialogue. I thought the other day, I got another one coming to me. So what church do you go to? You know, well, I don't even, you don't? Where will that take it? All you need is a one-liner. You know, so he's got me starting a new book, Larry's One-Liners. Hey, you can talk with your face. So where do you go to church? And then shut up. Well, actually, you know, sorry for my cussing. They stop cussing now. They've been cussing. They stop cussing. We don't, you know. Oh, you don't? You don't think that'll open a conversation? All you need is a question or two. God, give me a question. Question evangelism. It primes the pump. What you'll find is you don't even have to fill the conversation. They'll fill it for you. All you do is tweak it here and there, make it a turn. But you open the floodgates when you just ask them a question. A couple ladies came knock on my door one morning. Had their guns loaded. They were ready to go. They were going to give it to me. Had their briefcase and books in hand, magazines. Opened the door. I said, hi, how are you? Into the spiel. I said, hold on. I said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What? 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 I said, have you received the Holy Ghost? You're confusing me. Boy, they backed down off the porch and they kind of ran.
Got off the script.
Yeah, they didn't know the script. And I thought, hey, this kind of works both ways. You're not going to believe this. I feel inspired. My wife says, oh, catch your breath. We bought a bobcat to use at the farm. Plant some trees, dig some trenches, put some irrigation in. I threw it in the trailer and brought it home the other day. I'm wanting to dig holes. I dug a hole on my way home the other day with it. Nope, just ran a little, you know, if you got a hole you want to dig, I got a digger.
Call me. Oh, isn't that just intense?
And while I'm digging this hole,
I'm waiting for the question. I'm thinking, this ain't about holes, you know that.
You gotta settle it. You gotta resolve who you are that he brought into his kingdom. Your vocation, it's just an evangelism system. It's to get you in the company of individuals. People. I'm digging a hole Monday morning. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. I don't know how it works for you. But I have come to learn that God will lead me into some very strange situations to get me into the company of people whom I would never have met. And if I will only be willing to open my mouth and communicate. So what church do you go to? It's that easy. It's that easy. People are hungry. People are waiting. They just want to be exposed to something real and genuine and not religious. The Holy Ghost operating through you is the most current thing in your life. You don't study up for it, you walk in it. You live in it and you respond. He quickens, he beckons, he inspires, so you say it. You'd be surprised what it'll have you saying. You are the light. You are the light in your community. The one that he has chosen. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said, I think we read this last week. He said of the prophet, I have put my words in your mouth. I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I knew you before you were born. I had a purpose and a calling for you before you could ever walk. And it's going to be me that does the work through you. He reached out and he touched his lips and put his word in a man's mouth. And he said, now you're going to affect nations of people.
I could go on with this all day, you know that.
Let's stand. Let's become believers of who we are in the called. Let us become believers in who we are in the called. You're a called out one. You're a called out one. You've got permission. Say it. Speak it. Get comfortable with it. You know, for a couple years, I'd go right down the street here. There's a church at the end of the street called Praise Chapel. There was a man pastoring there, Pastor Ron L. McGraw. It's a Church of God in Christ Kojic Church. Pastor Ron L. McGraw, I met him at a hot dog sale. We dialogued. We talked about prayer. I started praying with him. He agreed, let's pray together. I'd go down to his building and I'd pray for his pews. I went from chair to chair praying that God would anoint believers. They would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They would walk in truth. Oh, I didn't pray to myself silently. I let her fly. And he and I prayed for 2 years together. He got cancer. Gave him a short time to live. Sitting in his office one day, I recognized it's the time. He made a comment about some crusade going on in Tacoma, Benny Hinn type thing, something like that. And people who he was trying to reach in his own congregation were flooding into the altars at this crusade in the Tacoma Dome. He said, what gives with that? I said, Ronnie, I wouldn't give any credence to that. And it led me into a dialogue concerning baptism in Jesus' name. Infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. The scripture, the doctrine, the gospel, the word. And as I was going there, I could tell. I was kind of getting my, you know, I got to tell you. I got to teach you. I got to say these things. I kind of got a little fight in my spirit. It wasn't necessary. At one point, he said to me across his desk, he said, Larry, nobody's ever told me that. Nobody's ever shared that with me. I was here praying a couple months later. I was here praying in the morning, and the Lord said, you're going to go down there and you're going to speak. And I want you to speak Jesus' name. Well, how do you do that without an invitation? You show up at the door. I showed up at the door, and his son met me. And he said, my dad's going to want to talk to you. Took me to the office. Inside the office, Ronnie's sitting there behind his desk, and he says, did the Lord give you a word for this congregation today? I said, well, what do you think? He said, well, that's why I'm asking you. Yes, he has. And for 2 hours, every scripture and concept concerning Jesus' name that I'd ever learned began to flow in ministry in that congregation. Now, where's all that headed? Well, I hope some of it's headed upward. I don't answer for all those things that were taken by. Ron L. passed out of this life. His son is now the pastor. Great young man, and he's a presbyter in their district and all this, a leader. But if I walked in there right now, if I walked in that door right now, Ronnie would say, do you have something to say? Here's what they know. This is one of the things that Ronnie said to me. He said, Larry, you're the best friend that I have. See, in our world, we see each other as competing pastors. But in the world that he and I had entered into in prayer, it removed all those things away. I was smitten when he made that statement to me. Because for me, I was looking for one more credit. Not a notch on the gun, but I was looking for another credit I wanted to see this guy come to God, you know, I mean, in the way of, you understand. Larry, nobody's ever told me that. It took me 2 years to open my mouth and communicate something to him as a pastor, which he was ready to receive a long time ago. There's people around us. I'm not saying these things to convict you. I'm saying these things to convince you. You're the ones. You're the players on the field. Ball is in your hand. You're the ones that have been picked. Let him put it in play. Let him use you in a powerful way to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that will bring somebody redemption, that will lead somebody to the remission of their sins, a deliverance of spiritual influence in this world. Go ahead and sing.
You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people.
Why don't you come and stand in agreement with the Lord? I'm the one. I'm the one you've chosen. You've led me and I followed you. I'm hearing the will of God.
You're the peace to the restless.
I'm hearing the will of God. I may be making tents. I may be patching tents. But I'm hearing your will. I'm here to do your bidding, Lord.
Peace to the weary.
glad this morning that the pen's still in his hand.